Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm getting a phone call, so I'm going to have to mute. I'm back again.
Monthly cycle.
In this Psalm 26, King David inundates God with prayers and acts of piety because he envies those who are his spiritual superiors, saying, if only I were on their level of piety and virtue. This is the traditional kavanah to use when saying this psalm. As we will find out from additional material that we study in the Yearning for Redemption PDF,
Brandela.
There is another kavanah, which I will explain at that point. The first word is Le David, which would translate as to or for David. And we will, as we've said before, it's not the one of the more common beginnings for the first verses of a psalm. There are 12 verses in this psalm. This connects to Hashem in all of the three columns, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh on the right, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh on the left, and Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh as a central column. It also connects to the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 also connects to the physical world through the 12 tribes of Israel. Let's transition to Yearning for Redemption. Tehillim 26. This is David's letter of apology to Hashem for the taking of Bathsheba in the way that he did, which caused the Chilul Hashem, a profanation of his name. This is a statement by one of the sages. I believe he lived in the 1700s. His name is Sephorno. And by that you can tell that he's coming out of the Italian background. The Kavanah, the alternative Kavanah is to have the consciousness that you don't want to make any additional sins. The first verse. Le David shafteni Adonai Ohewahe Ki ani bechumi Alachti uva Adonai Yohewahe Batachti lo emad. Le David, by David, you judge me, Hashem. Judgment is usually unmitigated, whereas Hashem's judgment is always blended with compassion. Only you can judge whether I did this with evil intent to rebel against you, or if it was just a temporary lapse. For you know that I have walked in innocent wholeheartedness before you since my youth. I have therefore placed my trust in you, Hashem, that I will never slip again. Footnote 56. As per, he will guard the feet of his devoted ones, while the wicked will be silenced in darkness, for no man succeeds on the basis of his own strength. And As per in life, as in war, you have widened my stride beneath me, given me stability in the midst of adversity. My feet have therefore never slipped, even during the most trying of times. The Zohar is very clear. King David did not sin with Bathsheba. How can we say that? How can the Zohar make that statement? Bathsheba was the wife of another man, Uriah the Hittite. Uriah was away at war. King David slept with Bathsheba. How can it be that he did not sin? One of the Esther Dibrot, do not commit adultery. The tenth of the Esther Dibrot is do not covet. Something that belongs to someone else. And obviously, when you're married to one person, someone who wants to be with you is coveting something that belongs to someone else. There's a barrier there, a spiritual barrier that's created through the mechanism of marriage. And along comes tradition, along comes reality, that before someone goes to war, under Torah law, under Torah custom, he signs a conditional divorce. If I don't come back from this war, either through death, or imprisonments, or just running away, my wife is not married to me. I'm divorcing her. And that get, that statement, is given to the wife, signed by three judges of Bet Din. So it is clear that she is divorced if he does not come back, if he dies, if he's imprisoned, or for any other reason, like he just took off and didn't tell anyone. Why would he do that? To avoid leaving his wife, An aguna translates as a chained woman. She's chained to the lack of knowledge about where her husband is. But unless she's been divorced, unless it can be proven in front of a Bet Din that her husband is dead, she's divorced. Excuse me. Unless it's proven in front of a Bet Din that her husband is dead, she is still married to this living man who's not with her. And out of knowledge of what the laws are, out of recognizing that you don't want to leave anybody in that situation, contrary to some of the people in our generation who refuse to give these gets to women, people of high spiritual consciousness would always give a get. Uriah the Hittite was no different. gave his Bathsheba, his wife, a get, conditional get. If he came back, that would be fine. So what was King David's sin in being with Bathsheba? Bathsheba was his cosmic soulmate, the one woman in all of the world that would help him perfect and complete his tikkun. What was that tikkun? To bring a child. To bring a child worthy of becoming what King Solomon became. The second king of Israel, or actually the third after King Shaul as well. But essentially, Solomon was a good representation of the character of King David. Solomon was in a state of peace. The country was in a state of peace. This was the tikkun of King David, to bring that child. And he needed the proper vessel, the proper woman to do that, his cosmic soulmate. He was destined to be with her. So what did he do wrong? He didn't do anything wrong, except not be willing to wait, which is the human error constantly. Adam and Eve didn't wait 6 hours for Shabbat to eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. All through history, we learn. Shem and Jacob's daughter Dinah are soulmates. Why didn't they wait? They would have gotten married. All through history, it's people not having the patience, not having the willingness to control their desires for a bit of time. King David didn't wait. He didn't get married to Bathsheba. Not only that, but when she became pregnant, he recalled Uriah the Hittite from the war. And he said, in the words of the Bible, go wash your feet, which is a euphemism for being with your wife, being with a woman, but in this case, being with his wife. That's what the Bible says, go wash your feet. And Uriah didn't. His attitude is, if my mates who are still at war cannot be free to wash their feet, I won't wash my feet. And he stayed at the door of King David's chamber the whole night. But King David told him to go home, to go wash his feet. And thus, what happened? Uriah the Hittite disobeyed the king's order. And that is a action that is subject to the death penalty. When Messiah comes, when the Mashiach comes, if we disobey his order to return to the land, if we disobey his order of how to understand the various halachot, the various laws, we will be incurring the death penalty, because he will be king over the nation of Israel. Of course, who would disobey the Mashiach? if you say that, you do not know the human condition. The second verse. Bechaneini Adonai Yohewahi Benaseini Sarfa Kiyotai Belibi. You'll notice the difference between the way it's written and the way it's read. It's read Sarfa, it's written Sarofa. It adds a vav. Let's read the English translation and then return. Examine me, Hashem. Examine all the other areas of my life and see that this was actually incongruent with all of my other actions. Test me again and again, and you will see that I will never do such a thing again. Refine my innards and my heart. I'm going to take a moment and see if we can find out what the word Sarofa actually means. Definition of Sarofa, relax, desist, refrain, slacken. Rabbi, I'm trying to determine in my own Rabbi Sutton is translating it as refine. So why is it read without the vav, but written with the vav? It's telling us, if we understand the words and the way Hashem communicates, it's telling us that King David was refined. King David was. But he didn't act it. In his mind, it was, he wasn't. But according to Hashem, he was fine for where he was in this lifetime. Because everyone makes mistakes. Everyone sins. Some of those sins are acceptable. There's a concept of he's guilty, but he does not receive the punishment. The halakha uses different words, but there is this concept that you can make a mistake, you can do a sin, but at this level, It doesn't require lashes. It doesn't require the effects to be in this lifetime. In a perfect world, cause always has an effect. But it doesn't mean it will happen in this lifetime. So with that understanding, we can understand why this word lacks the vav. And it's clearly connected to King David because it has the number six in the number of words. The number six relates to this lower sephirot. It has 29 letters, which relates to the month, the Hebrew month of Av, through the letters Kaf Tet. The letter Kaf that created the sun and the letter Tet that created the astrological sign of Aryeh, of the lion. But it's connecting us to the month of Av, the month of Father. The energy of Father. And that is appropriate for the subject of this verse, the third verse. Ki chazdecha v'neged inai v'hit halachti v'amitecha. For your loving kindness is before my eyes at all times, urging me on to serve you out of pure heart, pure love. I have walked in your truthfulness. I have devoted every ounce of my being to studying and living the truth of your Torah. Six words again. Seven letters connects to all of the energy of the alphabet, including the end times energy, the final letter forms. I did not say in the second verse, and I think it's important to say, so I'm going back just for this one discussion. King David asked Hashem to test him, to prove that what he's saying is true. There's a midrash that says, you ask me to test you, you'll fail. And King David says, test me, try me, let me prove that I can do it. And Hashem says, I know you'll fail. What was Hashem saying? This is his beloved King David. Hashem knows everything. None of us should ever question that. Most of us will question that at one time in our life or not another, because we won't understand why something happens either to ourselves or to others. We will question it. We will question Hashem. This is being human, and we were born as human beings. But we're not meant to remain human beings. We're meant to grow. Hashem knows. No, this lifetime you cannot pass the test. But next lifetime, or the lifetime after that, you will. Trust Hashem. This is the message. Don't ask to be tested. There's enough chaos in your life and in this world. You don't need to be tested. You're going to receive enough tests. overcome those tests. Prove to yourself that you can make those tests. Don't ask for more to prove that you are something that you're really not yet. The fourth pasuk. Lo yashavti im mitei shav ve'im na'alamim lo avo. I have not sat, dwelled, lingered with men who have no conception of the deeper meaning of life. I have not kept company with those who hide their emptiness. What does that phrase mean? Hide their emptiness. We're all empty. We all have lack. We all want something that is not yet fulfilled. As the Talmud says, a man who has a goal to get 200 of something, as soon as he achieves it, he wants 400. And as soon as he achieves that, he wants 800. We will never be satisfied in this physical world until the Mashiach comes. And we are so far from Hashem that we don't even know as a society that what we want is peace. Because there is nothing higher in this world, nothing more meaningful or more fulfilling than peace, what peace will be, what peace actually is. We don't even understand it because we don't experience it. If we were satisfied with the 200, we would be at peace. But no, immediately we have a new goal. I achieved 200, now I want 4. This is mankind. Nine words. Does it connect to wisdom and to Chachma or to Yesod, creativity and creation? Count the letters. Thirty is the Lamed, the teaching. It's a verse connected to teaching. It's a verse connecting to the Bina through the number 30, which is the letter Lamed, that constant is the only letter that goes above the line, meaning above the physical to the ultimate spiritual of Bina. So it's connected to wisdom. The fifth verse. Saneti kehal mereim, ve'im rasha'im lo eshev. I despise the gatherings of the evildoers. I will never sit with the wicked. Sounds like a good goal. Sounds like I really mean it, doesn't it? How do you know who is wicked? Didn't we just say people hide their emptiness? There's no light in wicked. And here we're saying we're going to never sit with the wicked, because how can we know they're hiding their emptiness? The sixth pasuk. Sanetikaho. I started to read the wrong verse again. The sixth verse. Erchat b'ni kayon kapai v'asova et mizbachacha Adonai Yohewahe. On the contrary, I wash my hands in purity. I examine my deeds in the purifying waters of your Torah. Only then do I actively encircle your altar, Hashem. It's a little confusing also. Let's count the letters and the words. Six words. Twenty-seven letters. Twenty-seven represents, connects to the 27 letters of the alphabet, the 22 plus the final forms. The letters represent the malchut. They represent the vessel. So it's nine is now connecting to yesod, to creativity. How can we understand that? How does that apply to this, to the words of this, this idea of hands in purity, this idea of encircling your altar? These concepts are relating to Malchut. These concepts are relating to the Yesod, actually, which is always connected to Malchut, at least part of the Yesod. The seventh pasuk. Adonai Yohewahe Ahavti Meon Betecha Umkom Mishkan Kibodecha. Hashem, merciful Hashem, I love the inner sanctum of your temple, the place where the remnant of your glory resides to this day. Seven words connecting to the physical world, the lower sephirot. Connecting to the word El, Aleph Lamed, which connects to Chesed, loving kindness. It is only through loving kindness that we can be worthy of making the voice of thanksgiving. Only through our actions of loving kindness, of chesed, of good deeds. The eighth pasuk. Adonai Yohewahe Ahavti Meon Betecha Umkom Mishkan Kivodecha. I just read that. Did I count the letters correctly? Hold a second. Yes, there are 31 letters. The ninth pasuk. Al te'esof im hata'atim nafshi ve'im anshei damim chaye. Gather not my soul with evildoers, nor my life with men who have spilt blood. King David was one of the most bloodiest people in history, responsible for many, many wars, but always of defense, not of attack. He may have attacked, but only in defense. Nine words. Letters. How does the concept of loving kindness connect to the discussions of this verse? This seems to be a paradox. That only seems to be a paradox. I'm going to leave this for you to contemplate. And if you want to have the question answered in our next question and answer discussion, please feel free to ask it. The 10th pasuk. Asher bidehem zima vimitanam malah. Their hands reach out with lust for all that is not theirs. Their right hand is filled with bribery. Doesn't sound like a real positive statement, does it? Six words connecting to Zeranpin, which is heaven. Which is man, which is Moses. All of these are metaphors for Zeranpin. Seven letters. Who is King David talking about? Their hands reach out for lust, with lust, of everything that they covet. Their right hand is filled with bribery. They think they're in control of the world. A society filled with bribery, is that a just society? The answer is no. The 11th pasuk. Va'ani b'chumi elech b'deini b'chaneini. Five worlds connecting to the five words connecting to the five worlds. I, however, walk in my integrity. I therefore ask, redeem me and be gracious to me. Is King David truly able to judge himself? History judges him. We judge him. We learn from how we judge him. So we're not judging him just to judge him. But can any human being truly judge themselves? And yet, who else can judge them because no one else is walking in their shoes? understand the truth of this message. You can't judge yourself, but you must judge yourself. And then remember the adage that Kabbalah teaches. When you judge yourself, Hashem does not judge you. When you are making the effort to evaluate your actions, to know what you did righteous and what you did not righteous, when you make that effort, Hashem will give you the space to grow and come to the right understandings. If you don't judge yourself, you force the effect of not judging yourself. That's the cause. The effect is Hashem judges you. And Hashem will judge you with righteousness, and He will judge you with mercy. But you don't want that judgment. It's better if you are choosing to judge yourself. The 12th pasuk. Radli amda b'mishor b'machelim avarech Adonai yohewahe. Hashem, help me place my foot firmly upon the path of uprightness. Then I will bless you, Hashem. O merciful, a merciful Hashem, in the assemblies of your people. Six words. This verse connects us to Hashem through the 29 letters of the six words. Does anyone have any questions? I'm going to read the Hebrew now. L'David shafteni Adonai Yohewahe Ki ani betumi halachti uvay Adonai Yohewahe Patachti lo emad V'chaneni Adonai Yohewahe v'naseni tzad rafa ki yotai v'libi ki chazdecha v'neged enai v'hitchalachti b'yamitecha lo yashavti imate shav V'im na'alamim lo avo shaneti kahal v'reim v'im reshaim lo eshev a'er chatz v'nikayon ka'apai v'yasov v'va a'et mizbach acha Adonai Yohewahe Lashmiya b'kol toda Usaper kol nafliotecha Adonai Yohewahe Ahavti meon Betecha umkom Mishkam kivodecha Al te'esof im chataim nafshi ve'im anshe damim chaye asher bi dehem zima v'minam malas shochat v'ani betumi elech pedeni v'chaneni ragli amda b'mishor b'machelim Avarech Adonai Yohewahe. Tomorrow will be our last day during the Shovavim period, and we will complete it with the 27th Psalm. So we will have created a vessel connecting to the 27 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, all of the energy of the creation. Today's classes at 4:30, we will continue our deeper study of the section 26 of the Parasha of Noah from the Zohar. And at 7 o'clock, we will have a regular Zohar class for the Parasha of Mishpatim, learning more about reincarnation. I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. If someone has a question, please feel free to ask it. And if not, I wish you all shalom. I'm going to mute the phones. If you have a question, please feel free to ask it now. I bid shalom to each and every one. Have a beautiful day and a Shabbat shalom, a good, wonderful Sabbath. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.